this, and I was never able to think of anything to say.
Well, here we'll hit on something regarding parchment. The first thing I want you to do is to give your name.
Norman C. Sleet.
Okay. When did you come to work for KVP?
Well, I came out here in 1933. I came out working for the construction people that was doing work for the KVP at that time. I came out dug ditches out here in the summertime, and I worked around here about a year and a half or so before I went to work for that job in the mill.
Oh, now, did you move out here at that time? Or?
No. We didn't move out here until 1950.
Oh.
After.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you knew so much about the history of the mill, and I just thought perhaps...
Well, a lot of hearsay.
Oh. But of course, you working here, you knew more about it.
Yeah, I worked digging ditch and so on. I did work with these people, and I did work with the mill people. Any hard work they wanted done, they would come get us guys off the construction gang, and we would do the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't with Brown or KVP, it was somebody else that you worked for at that time?
Yes, first job I had, I put in a big water line from the filler plant to the number 2 powerhouse.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I was digging ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Guy hired me, he said either fill your shovel or fill your coat, because those were hard times, you recall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work for Billingham. He was the general contractor that they hired at that time. He would do all their buildings. I worked on the pulp storage, the number 2 powerhouse, and shipping department.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually, what department did you go into?
I went into the maintenance department.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they wanted a ball player. I was a ball player.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. So.
You mean that department wanted a ball player?
No, the whole.
Oh, the whole.
Yeah. But the guy Andy Bean was the manager, or I don't know. I guess he was. Yeah, Andy Bean was the manager. He wanted me to play ball, so that's why.
Now, how long had you been playing ball? Were you semi-pro, or?
Yeah, I've been playing ball I was a pretty good ball player when I was about 14.
And then you were playing, for the city, or?
Yeah, I played in the city
league. City league.
Yeah.
And then they wanted you to play on their team.
Yes.
Did you play as the parchment team, is that it?
Yes.
How long did they, when did they start the ball games there, or teams here in Parchment?
Oh, I know, a long, long time. Ever since I remember, I was raised in the North End, and, you know, they used to have Kelvin Sioux had a professional team, and their teams were, they got worse and worse, and the city leagues are better players than the, so they finally dropped out. But Parchment had a team in 1924, probably, my brother, he played on the first city, oldest brother, he played on the first city league team, they won the championship, that was the Beetle Oils. That's my brother George.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they won 50 straight games before they got beat. And my other brother, he pitched against them and beat him.
Oh.
So George said that all were going to keep it in the family.
Yeah.
But
you said Parchment must have had a team around 1924 anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then when did you go on their team?
Oh, I know, 1933, I mean.
33.
See, they had two teams there for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
My brother played on the better team. I played on the other team. And,
it was sort of, you played with the city league.
Yeah.
Like they do Little League now.
Yeah, the Parchman Sutherland, they were great rivals. And they would get as many as 10,000 people go to see the games.
Oh.
In their early days.
Uh-huh. Where did they play out here?
Out here they played right by the, you know, where the old community house was.
Yeah.
It wasn't very much upfield, but that's where the Parchman.
Oh, that was where their field
was. Yeah, where the signboard is, it was the backstop.
Yeah. Well, the community house wasn't here at that time, was it?
Yes.
It was?
Yeah.
And it still was a big enough field, huh?
Yes, I also worked out in the community house addition when they built it.
The gymnasium?
The gymnasium.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And,
now, you must have seen a lot of changes in the mill as you worked there. Was there quite a changeover? Was there something that happened when Sutherland and KVP merged? Were they going downhill,
yeah,
or?
I think the Sutherland was almost on the rocks, and that's why. And you know, they had both. They had stockholders here and stockholders there were the same people, so they.
Oh.
I imagine that's why they merged.
I see.
And I guess this Midas had something to do with it. He wanted to do. You know, he got in there with his match factory.
Mm-hmm. You mean that was the Brown Company, or
no, that was Sutherland.
Sutherland.
See, he had, and I guess he didn't. He was going to take over Sutherland or something. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
this is all hearsay. But anyway, they wanted to kind of block him, so they merged. But and I guess KVP was making the money, and Sutherland was kind of a white elephant at that time.
Well, did you notice quite a bit of changes in staff and attitude after that?
I think the biggest change, as far as I know, was when Mr. Haywood died. We mm-hmm. got the Canadian property and all that sort of stuff, and the additions here and there. But and I don't think the other people after him were quite as aggressive or
mm-hmm.
outgoing or something. I don't know.
Now, he took over after Kindleberger died, is that it?
Yes. No, he took over before Kindleberger. I think Kindleberger was sick a little bit before he died. And
but yeah, but he was the next
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah.
It was sort of a company, a family-type company before that, wasn't it?
Yes. You know, all these people, they, you know, this was a kind of a busy beehive, this office here at that time.
Mm-hmm. And, they sort of ran the city and
people lived right over here in this block here when I came to work. I believe they lived there, Libby's. And
right across the street?
Well, not on Main Street, I believe.
Oh.
But then he would, shortly afterwards, built their house. I worked on his house and Sultan's house.
Mm-hmm.
For
you know, some of the first pictures that were taken of Parchman, I noticed that that street was blank except for, say, one house. Why was it there wasn't any building there in the beginning? Were they holding those for the executive homes, Park Avenue?
It could be, probably. I wouldn't know. I know Haywood owns that one lot. He didn't want anybody. He didn't want any neighbors there, so that's why he bought the big vacant lot.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I just noticed those pictures, early pictures, yeah. And noticed that there were that one whole street. I think there were one or two houses on it,
yeah.
And that was it. And yet there were houses back of it, and I wondered if this would be the choice place to build, it seems like, right across from the park.
Yeah, right from the park.
So maybe they were holding it for that
reason. Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, across the street from him, and it had a garden, big, I guess it's a parking lot. Well, it was a parking lot. They built a rose garden and like that.
Now, did they have the people from the mill working on the park, or was it the city?
They had the mill had their own help. At that time, the mill did all the pickup for the city, and they ran the fire department, ran the waterworks.
So, actually, the city was nothing but just the mayor and city commission, is that it?
No, the city commission mayor, I think, came in a little bit later than that. It was just the village at that time, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid that the Kalamazoo were going to annex them at that one time. I guess they formed the city government at that time.
Right. Uh-huh. Now, in the fire department, of course, was the mill.
Yes.
How long were you on the fire department? Have you been on for quite a few years?
I've been on about 22 years.
Oh, yeah.
When I moved out here, they asked me to join, so I did.
And it's always been the same type of thing, except you had the fire trucks down here.
Yeah, we had them down by Mill 1, what's called the old lab where...
Mm-hmm. Well, how, then they have this siren or whatever it is, and
no,
everybody would be...
They used to blow the whistle. They used to blow the whistle of number 2 power.
Well, how did you know whether you were supposed to go?
Well, if the whistle blew, we went to the fire station.
Everybody that was a fireman?
Well, everybody that was a fireman.
Uh-huh.
And it was all volunteer to go paid, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't get anything for it.
Mm-hmm. You just took off from work?
We just took off. We were able to take off. Well, not everybody was, but people, maintenance.
Yeah.
And the people at the lab were able to...
Leave.
Well,
what I was wondering, you must have had more volunteers actually than what had to be at one.
Yeah, they. Well, we.
Fire.
I think they figured 25. That's what we figured for today too.
Uh huh. And so, if you were say working days, and you assumed that you were supposed to go, not somebody that was home in bed. Yeah, I see what it is. Have there been quite a few changes in the fire department, do you think? Well, I'm not thinking of the present one, but throughout the years, were there any spectacular fires or changes in the fire department?
Well, not exactly. We've been kind of lucky. We've always had somebody who was a regular standby that you could depend on would be there and drive the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that job assigned to someone, the truck driver, or is it the first one there?
No, first one there, or not necessarily first one there. They do assign truck drivers, but
yeah,
anybody that gets there should be able to drive the truck.
Uh-huh.
But,
and you have certain...
Generally, they have a driver. It's more...
Just about every shift practically would have at least one person that could drive, and
he
should get there first. Yeah. You sort of have an association or something, don't you, in parties and things with your fire department?
Mm-hmm.
And then an annual picnic?
Yeah, an annual Christmas party.
Or a Christmas party.
And generally an annual picnic, too.
Uh-huh.
But
now, are the anyone volunteer, or is it...
anyone can volunteer.
But you don't have to take them?
We do not have to take them. It's up to the vote to the members, and more and four vote against him first, and then he's not accepted.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a closed group.
Kind of, sort of.
Do you have a waiting list of people that want to get in?
Yeah, there's generally one or two persons wanted to join.
And then they have to wait for somebody to leave before they can come in, is that it?
Generally, they have to wait for an opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other kind of sports activities have they had out here in Parchment throughout the early years there? Did they just have baseball?
Well, they had, let's see, basketball, I guess. They had bowling and...
Where'd they bowl?
Well, they bowled downtown in the winter town. Well, some of those bowling alleys aren't there anymore down on Portage Street and Masonic Temple. And they still have the bowling teams.
seemed to me someone told me one time there had been a bowling alley out here where the old bank was.
Used to be one down the Hudson Manor basement.
That was across from Intermediate.
Yes.
Yeah. Did they use it very long, or didn't you?
I don't know. I was never down there and never seen it.
Uh-huh. What was upstairs at that time?
Well, apartment houses, apartments.
No restaurant or anything of that sort?
Yeah, there used to be a restaurant there right in the very front.
In the front. And then the rest was apartments?
Yes.
Huh. But it must have been... I never heard of anyone who said that they had used the bowling alley. Just I remembered someone saying that there had been a bowling alley there. Uh-huh. Well, did you have much to do with Kindleberger himself?
Well, I knew Jake, and Jake knew me, mainly through my dad. See, my dad had done all the stone work out here. And at times I drove a stop from the truck, I would go over and deliver stuff over to him. And,
mm-hmm.
And at times I'd see him, you know, I'd deliver stuff up to his office.
Mm-hmm.
He was never very talkative to me. But
did he come down through the shop a lot? Or
oh, yeah.
Check on people?
Oh, yeah. He'd be around. You couldn't tell when he might be there night or day in any place in the mill. So everybody was on their toes.
Mm-hmm. You said your father did work for him, so evidently your family's lived here quite a long time.
Well, the way my dad got working for him, we worked over in Battle Creek, and the landscape person over there was named Shepherd. And he's the person that landscaped the Kindleberger Park, the landscaping.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And, of course, my dad, he brought dad to their rock gardens, built their comfort station and like that. So then Jake had my dad build a stonework up around on Parchment and here and there. And
mm-hmm. So that's how you first got acquainted?
And that's probably how I got in the camp, got worked in and out here.
Uh-huh. You said you and both of your brothers were baseball players
mm-hmm.
with the teams here.
Yeah.
And that was in the early 20s and in the 30s?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I don't know of any other questions right now. Maybe I'll think of some later. Well, let's see how it worked.
They always had the, at Christmas time, Jake always used to have in the community, always have a big party for all the employees, and we generally give them a basket of food. And, but that lasted until the merchants complained about, you know, when he gave them food, they wouldn't, that's hurting their business.
Well, didn't he buy the food locally, or?
I don't think so. He probably bought them from, like, ham, I think, was one of the things he got from Swiss or someplace like that where, you know, they sold their paper.
Oh.
But in, when they built the park at that time, they had all the big ball teams, a lot of big ball teams in here. When Jake lost a bet one time, he had Gabby Hartnett and three or four of the Cubs playing with a team. They picked up the rest of the players from Chicago. Jake made a bet. Parchment wouldn't win, but Parchment being pretty good.
These were big league players.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh.
And they would get all these colored teams, the Chicago American Giants was one, which I remember best. They came in here and they had Cracker Jack players, which, you know, the best Negro players at that time. And they would really give them a good game. House of David.
Oh, you really had.
Yeah, and around 4th of July, they always had a big 4th of July celebration, fireworks, like that.
Well, that was before the Citizens League came in. They did, you know, in later years.
Oh, yeah.
But well, this was earlier, had those things. Uh-huh. Well, now this community house actually was more than just the church.
Yes, they had a man there named Doc Bennett. He would give all the ball players and all the men, I guess he mainly their reason to give rub downs to the big shots here in the mill.
They had an apartment there for him, didn't they?
No, that was Rauschenberger. He was the custodian.
Well, it said someplace I read in the articles where there was also room for the doctor in that building.
Could be. I didn't realize he lived there.
Yeah, it was supposed to have an apartment for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he could do the mill work, and it said he could take any other business that he could handle on his own.
Yeah.
It sloped like a theater, the building was. Did they give movies and stuff there?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the slogan. It's just flat, I think, the floor.
Well, you know, like a theater, it goes down. It went down a little bit.
They had a stage.
Yeah.
And they used to have the KVP used to have a choir. I think Heine Dobbs sang in it. And Martin Ritter, he just died the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. They were pretty good. And they had Mrs. Plummer. She was quite a singer. She worked in the purchasing department.
Mm-hmm. But more activity centered around the community and the factory.
Yes.
Combined rather than as it is now.
Jake, he would give a prize for the best kept yard and parchment each year.
Oh. Did you find, I've heard that he went around, and if you didn't keep your lawn mowed, he would object.
I don't know. We didn't live here until after that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put it by him, particularly people that worked in the mill.
Mm-hmm. Were you here at the time of that swindle?
Yes. The yellow kid?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess they went, magazines came into town. I guess they tried to buy them up. Went down to the newsstand and tried to buy them all up, and I guess they just shipped more in.
It was a good deal, wasn't it? I had heard about it, but I didn't realize what kind of a swindle it was anything.
Well, the yellow kid, I guess Jake was probably a little greedy or something. He thought this Japanese had some new way of making paper out of corn stalks, and he paraded him through some big office building over in Chicago, and Jake thought he owned the place, and instead of that he just waved him high, speaking to people, and he didn't even know who they were, the yellow kid, he put on the big show and just...
Oh, he pretended that was his building.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. And so Kindleberger was going to invest in that company with that?
Yeah, I guess he took Kindleberger for $25,000, probably would have took him for more, but at that time that's all he could get his hands on.
Uh-huh. And then they found out
who
he was. Is that mentioned in the book about Yellow Kid? We have it here, but I never read it.
I don't know. Probably is. I don't know if he mentions any names or not.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't know what kind of a swindle it was.
Yes. Well, I guess the yellow kid had some Japanese people with him, and they talked to each other in Japanese, and of course Jake didn't know what they were saying or anything.
But they thought, he thought it was a Japanese process, was that it?
Yeah.
Please turn to side 2.